For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is September 1st. We're in Yirmiyahu. We're beginning Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, which, as we've mentioned, is the Haftarah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Perek is rather long. The first 19 psukim, the first 19 verses are the part that is the Haftarah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That is what we plan to do tonight. So, the pasuk begins, Komar Hashem, so says Hashem, Matzachin Bamidbar, they found favor in the wilderness, Am Seride Charev, the nation that were remnants of the sword, that survived the sword. Haloch Lahargi'o Yisrael, they were going to rest or to find relaxation in Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. They were looking to relax from their journey. They were Sride Charev, the Jews were, they had survived the sword, as Rashi says, they survived Mitzrayim and Amalek and the Canaanim, and they were going to find their place to rest, to be in a situation of calm in Israel. And they found favor. That generation that was leaving Egypt, they found favor in the wilderness with Hashem. The Medrash tells us that Sride Charev, those that were the remnants of the sword, those who survived the sword, refers to another sword that was survived. And who survived the sword? Yitzchak Avinu survived the sword. Yitzchak Avinu was taken to be slaughtered, and he survived it. He was not killed at Akedas Yitzchak. And the chain, the favor that we found with Hashem in the Midbar, in the wilderness, was in the merit specifically or particularly of Yitzchak with the incident of Akedas Yitzchak. We are going to see throughout these psukim connections to Rosh Hashanah, and this is one of them. As we know, we blow the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, which connects to many things, but one of the main things it connects to is Akedas Yitzchak, that is the horn. And we're saying here that the Jews were found favor with Hashem in the Midbar because of Akedas Yitzchak. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Merachok Hashem Nirali. Yirmiyahu says, from afar, Hashem appeared to me. Ve'ahavas olam ahavtich. And I, Hashem says, I loved you a love forever. Al kein mishachtich chesed, therefore I have drawn chesed, kindness, over you, or I've drawn you with kindness, because my love for you is enduring, it's forever. Merachok, from a distance, Hashem appeared to me, says Yirmiyahu. From a distance means that there is some obstacle. Yirmiyahu is saying, I'm not feeling that close. There's a distance over here. As much as I'm talking about how we found favor with Hashem and how Hashem says, I love you in an enduring love that is forever, yet there is a distance. The Medrash wants to know, what distance are we talking about? So the Medrash connects this word Merachok to three other times that it says Merachok in the Chumash. One is that it says that Avraham and Yitzchak, when they're going to Akedas Yitzchak, Vayar es hamakom merachok, Avraham saw the place from a distance. That way of reading this, the word distance here, does not mean distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Yirmiyahu is saying is, in the merit of Meirachok, in the merit of, we just said in the previous pasuk, in the merit of Akedas Yitzchak, Hashem appeared to me and has an enduring love for us, that we found favor with him in the Midbar, and then also that Hashem's love for us is enduring is in the merit of Akedas Yitzchak. That's one Meirachok. Another Meirachok is found with, this is not in chronological order, but this is the second one the Medrash speaks about, is with Miriam, where it says, Vateisatzav achoso Meirachok, that his sister, Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, stood from afar to see what would happen with Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved from the Yamsuf, and he became the leader of Klal Yisrael, who took us out of Mitzrayim. So here we have another connection with the same idea, that it is in the Zechus of Akedas Yitzchak that we were saved from Mitzrayim, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu became our leader through the merit of Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak is how we were saved and Hashem took us as his nation. But there's a third Meirachok, and that third Meirachok is not an auspicious one, and that is that the brothers, Vayiru Oso Meirachok, they saw Yosef from afar, Vayisnaklu Oso Lahamiso, and they plotted to kill him when they saw Yosef coming. They said, Hine Bala Chalamos Halazeba, here comes the dreamer. And they plotted to kill him. That is also Meirachok, and that in fact would be a distance, where Yirmiyahu is saying, from the distance, I see Hashem, but not so close, because Meirachok also implies something that is not such a great thing in our history, where there was distance between Yosef and his brothers, and therefore there's distance between us and Hashem. So in that reading, the word Meirachok from afar would be a negative statement, which implies distance from Hashem. We will see as we go, however, that perhaps even that word Meirachok is actually a positive, as we will see. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Odev nech v'nivnes besulas Yisrael. Hashem says, it'll happen. I will, in the future, it will happen. I will build you and you will be built. Besulas Yisrael. Od tadisu payech. It will happen again that you will be adorned with musical instruments, v'yatzas b'mchol mesach hakim, and you will go out with dancing and with rejoicing. It will happen. There will be a future where there will be rejoicing, where you will be rebuilt, and you will be adorned again. Od tit'i chiramim b'harei Shomron. It will happen again that you will plant vineyards in the mountains of Shomron. Nat'u not'im v'chilelu. You will plant them, and you will even be able to bring the grapes to Yerushalayim in the fourth year to be mechalel them for Kerem Revai. In the fourth year of fruit trees, you take the fruits to Yerushalayim and eat them there. And that's called Chilul. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Ki yesh yom, because there is a day. Karu notzrim bahar Ephraim, when the notzrim are those who are the watchers, those who are on the towers, looking to the distance, they will call out from the mountain of Ephraim, Kumu v'na'alet Zion, get up and go to Zion, let's go up to Zion, El Hashem Elokeinu, to Hashem our God. The notzrim, those watching from the towers, they will say, they will call out in the mountain of Ephraim, get up and let us go up to Zion, to Hashem our God. This is one of the psukim. This is one of the verses where we see the statement that Chazal make frequently, that Yerushalayim is lamala mikol Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is lamala mikol haratzos. That Yerushalayim is higher than all of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other lands. We don't know exactly what they're measuring, but that statement is made many times. And here it says as well, "V'na'alet Zion, will go up to Zion." In the mountains of Ephraim, that's where this will happen. Shomron, in the previous pasuk, is also associated with the northern kingdom. Shomron was the capital of the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom is frequently referred to as Ephraim. Where the southern kingdom is referred to as Yehuda, the northern kingdom is frequently referred to as Ephraim. Yirmiyahu was not prophesying for the northern kingdom. They had gone into Galus over 100 years earlier than Yirmiyahu. He's talking to the Bnei Yehuda, to the people of Yehuda and Binyamin, in the southern kingdom, and yet we use the term Shomron, we use the term Ephraim over here. We will hopefully develop that further soon. There is another way to understand the word Notzrim, those watchers. It can also mean those who guard. And the Medrash tells us, and Rashi quotes it here as well, those who kept the Torah throughout the Gullus, they are the ones who will cry out, let us go up and go to Tzion, to Hashem our God. That when the Geula happens, when the redemption happens, it will be those who kept the Torah throughout the Gullus. In this Perek, in this chapter, we are talking about redemption. There are two redemptions being referred to simultaneously. One is the one that Yirmiyahu would have been talking about to the people who he is prophesying for, those in his day. And that would be redemption from the Gullus, from the exile that was about to happen with Bavel 70 years later. But he is also referring to the ultimate Geula, for the ultimate redemption that we are waiting for. He's referring to that as well. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Kicho amar Hashem, for so says Hashem, Ranu li Yaakov simcha, rejoice with Yaakov happiness, v'tzahalu berosh hagoyim, and again rejoice at the head of the nations, hashmiu halalu v'imru, you should make heard, you should praise, and you should say, hosha Hashem es amcha, Hashem, save your nation, eis sheiris Yisrael, the remnant of the Jewish people. Save the Jewish people. Be joyous as you say it, because Hashem is going to do that. He is going to save the Jewish people and in that future day. The Medrash here says a fascinating thing. This word, at the beginning of the Pasuk, in Pasuk Vav, beginning of 6, where it says, Kichomar Hashem, so says Hashem, Ranu liYaakov Simcha. Now, Ranu, that word, is coming from the word like rina, which means joy. So it means to be joyous. However, there is another term, there's another word that the word ranu can mean, which is to be meranein. To be meranein is usually a negative idea, and it means to speak negatively or to complain. To be meranein is to complain or to kind of speak in a negative way. If people feel that their somebody's intentions are not pure, they're meranein acharav. They speak negatively towards him. The Medrash says an unbelievable thing over here. Hashem says, "Ranu li Yaakov simcha." I want Yaakov to talk to me. I want Yaakov to talk to me. Even if it is renen, even if it is complaining, I want Yaakov to talk to me. I have simcha, ranu li Yaakov simcha. It is a simcha to me when Yaakov talks to me, when the Jews talk to me. What I don't want is that the Jews ignore me. That's what I don't want. I want the Jews, I want my children to talk to me. They can talk to me, obviously better if they talk to me pleasantly, but even if they talk to me with complaining, I prefer that over no talk whatsoever. And there's a simcha that Hashem has. Frequently, when it comes to davening, we daven for things, and often we daven over and over and over again, and we don't necessarily get answered right away. We may keep davening and davening and davening and davening. And one could think like, you know, what is this good? Is it bad? Hashem says, even if you're complaining, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. It's better, of course, to say it nicely, but even if you're going to complain, I'd rather hear from you than not hear from you. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Hinani mevio sam me'eretz tzafon. Behold, I will bring them from the northern land. The kibatztim me'arkes ha'aretz, and I will gather them from the edges of the earth. Bam iver ufiseach. Amongst them will be the blind and the lame. Hara violedes yachtav. And among them will be the pregnant and those who just gave birth together. Kahol gadol yashuvu hena. A great multitude will return here. When I bring the Jews back to Yerushalayim, it's going to be a great multitude, says the Gemara. Hara violedes yachtav. In the future, there will come a time when the world will go back to the way it was before the sin of Adam HaRishon. How did pregnancy and childbirth work before the sin of Adam HaRishon? It was immediate. There was pregnancy, there was childbirth, there were no child, there was no labor, there was no pregnancy, meaning no prolonged pregnancy. It was all very easy and simple. And that will be restored. Hara violedes yachtav, pregnant and giving birth at once. Meaning, the simple meaning is there are pregnant women and those who just gave birth in this group. But the Medrash is, the Gemara says, the same woman will at one time, be conceive and birth all at once. And it will happen quickly, painlessly, easily. It also says, "Bam iveru fiseach." Amongst them are the blind and the lame. The Gemara says, "In the future, when Hashem takes us out of our graves, when Hashem is mechaya mesim, and He brings the resurrects the dead, He brings the dead back to life, will they be brought out? Will they have the same physical?" limitations that they had when they were alive or not? So the Gemara says two psukim. There's this one here which implies that there will be blind and lame people. So if they died blind or lame, then they will be resurrected blind or lame. But the Gemara brings another pasuk that implies that no, that they will be whole, that they will not have any deficiencies once they are resurrected. So the Gemara says, when Hashem brings the person back to life, they will come back to life with the same issues that they had when they were alive, and then immediately be healed, and they will not have those troubles again. So they will be brought back to life for a moment with the same problems, but then immediately be healed. I imagine, the Gemara doesn't explain, I imagine the reason for that is that the person who is brought back to life should immediately have recognition and the thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that not only were they brought back to life, but then they were then immediately restored to a physical body that has no problems. The Kahol Gadol, the great multitude, the Gemara tells us, is going to be all kinds of people, all kinds of Jews, everybody coming together to be brought back to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Bivechi Yavou, they will come with crying. Uvisachanunim Ovileim, and I will bring them with supplication. They will be supplicating, they'll be davening. Olichem al nachalei mayim, I will bring them to rivers of water. Bederech yashar, on the straight path. Lo yikashluba, they will not stumble in it. Ki ayisi li Yisrael la'av, I will be for Yisrael as a father. Ve'efrayim b'chorihu, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Here again we reference Ephraim, and we're going to reference Ephraim over and over again in this section. And Hashem says they're going to come back with crying and with supplication, and I am going to lead them back as their father, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The pasuk in Chumash says, Bini Bechori Yisrael, my son, my firstborn are the Jewish people. But here it refers to Ephraim. The Gemara, the Medrash says that Ephraim here is a name that refers to all of the Jewish people, where normally throughout Tanakh, as mentioned, when Ephraim means more than just the name Ephraim, or just the tribe Ephraim, it's referring to the northern kingdom, but we have segued, and now we're using Ephraim to mean all of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are being called by the name Ephraim. Why are we even called by the name Ephraim? Says the Medrash, Bivchi Avo, they will come with crying. The Medrash says, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he cried, and they cried, and he cried. And the Medrash says, since the brothers came back together with crying, therefore the Hashem will bring us back with crying. The reuniting of the brothers in Parshas Vayigash, where the brothers come back together, that is the example of the coming back together of us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what I meant before when we saw the word Merachok referring to the sale of Yosef. They saw Yosef coming from afar, which would seem to be a negative connotation. But we are going to see that the reuniting of the brothers, and particularly Yosef's role in the uniting of the brothers, the reuniting of the brothers is the, if you want to use the word, the prototype of what it's going to be when we come back to Hashem. There was crying then, there will be crying later, crying tears of coming back together, of regret over what was done, and joy that we are returning. But still it says Ephraim, it doesn't say Yosef. So the Medrash says that Ephraim represents the Yosef, because Ephraim was the one of Yosef's children. Between Ephraim and Menashe, Ephraim is the one who represented the study of Torah, and Ephraim was the spiritual leader of the children of Yosef. And therefore, Yosef is called Ephraim, and by extension, all the Jewish people are being called Ephraim. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Shimu Devar Hashem Goyim, listen to the word of Hashem, the nations. V'hagidu Voyim Mimerchok, and speak. Again, here you have the word Merchok, speak from afar in the Iyim. In the Iyim would be the islands or the faraway places. V'imru, and you should say, Mizarei Yisrael Yekavitsenu, the one who scattered the Jewish people will gather the Jewish people. That's Hashem. Ushmaro Kiroe Edro, and he will guard the Jewish people as a shepherd guards his flock. Kifado Hashem es Yaakov. Here you have a very, very famous pasuk, a famous verse. For Hashem has redeemed Yaakov, uge'alo miyad chazak mimenu, and he has again redeemed him from the hand of those who were stronger than he was. The Medrash here tells us that just as we find in many times throughout Tanakh, even though it has not yet happened, it is written in the past tense. Because for Hashem, since he says he's going to do it, it's as if it already happened. Like we find that Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Nasati, I gave you the lands of Canaan. I gave them to you, he says in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Because for Hashem, once he says it's going to happen, there's no way it can't happen. Therefore, it's as if it happened already. And Hashem is saying it is a sure thing that there is a redemption that is going to happen. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Uvo'u v'rinenu v'imrom Tzion, and they'll come and they'll be joyous in the heights of Tzion. V'naharu el tuv Hashem, and they'll come flowing like a river to the goodness of Hashem. Al dagon v'al tirosh v'al yitzar, grain and wine and oil. V'al b'nei tzon uvakar, and animals, sheep and cattle. V'yisan afsham kegan raveh, and their souls will be like a saturated or watered garden. V'lo yosifu l'da'ava od, they will no longer have any worry, any anxiety. Everything will be wonderful. Oz tismach besula b'machol, then the young woman will be joyous with dancing. Young women, actually, uvachorim uzkenim yachdav, and the young men and the old men together, v'afachti evlam l'sason v'nichamtim, and I will overturn, I will flip over their mourning to joy, and I will comfort them, v'simachtim migonam, and I will make them happy from their groaning from their pains. They will have joy and it will flip over. This Vahafachti is one of the psukim of turning things over, just as we have with Purim, Vinahafhochu, that it flips over, so too that will be the case in the future. It's very difficult to understand how that would happen in the future, because with Purim, at the end of the day, they were scared, there was danger in the air, everybody was afraid, but in the end, everything was great. Nothing bad happened in the end. But when we're talking here about a turning over, lots of bad things have happened to us throughout the Gullus. And this is one of those things which we don't understand how it's possible, but that Hashem says, I'm going to flip it over, that you will see that you will have joy, and it won't be a bittersweet joy. It won't be a joy that says, oh, but we suffered. No, the joy will be one similar to what we have with Purim, that it will be completely flipped over to the point where the suffering will no longer, somehow, no longer appear to be suffering. The only way, in my mind, that's possible is if we actually are given the clarity to understand why the suffering happened and why it was actually good. In the world, we can't understand why suffering should be good. And that's why we always make a bracha of Dayan Ha'emes. We don't make a bracha of Hatov V'Hameitiv on bad things because they feel bad. And there's no way for us to appreciate why it would be good. But we do know somehow on some level, everything is L'Tov. We don't know how or what. In the future, we are being told that we will see it somehow. Somehow it will be shown to us. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. V'riveisi nefesh ha-kohanim dashen. And I will satiate the soul of the kohanim with dashen, it could be oil, but it means fatty, it means the fat of the land. Ve'ami es tuvi isbo, and my nation, they will be satiated with my goodness, Neum Hashem, says Hashem. And here we have one of the most famous psukim, or set of psukim, that in Yirmiyahu, which we reference on Rosh Hashanah, and there's a lot to be said on these. Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem. Kol birama nishma. There's a voice or a sound in Rama. Rama means a high place. Nishma that is heard. Nihi bichi samrurim. Wailing, crying with bitterness. Rachel mivaka albaneha. Rachel is crying over her children. Me'anol hinachem. She refuses to be comforted. Albaneha for her children. Ki einenu, for they are no longer here. She cries over the loss of her children. Ko amar Hashem, says Hashem, min ikolech mi bechi, hold back or stop your voice from crying, ve'inayach mi dim'a, and your eyes from tears, ki yesh sachar lif'ulaseich neum Hashem, for there is reward for your efforts, says Hashem, v'shavu me'eretz oyev, they will return from the land of the enemy, v'yesh tikva le'achariseich neum Hashem, and there is a future, there's a hope. There's a hope for your future, says Hashem. Vishavu vanim ligvulam, and your children will return to their boundaries, back to Eretz Yisrael. We all are familiar with the famous medrash that when we were taken into Gullus, each of the Avos and the Imos, the patriarchs and the matriarchs, came to beg to Hashem that Hashem should have mercy. Avraham said, I withstood 10 tests. Yitzchak said, I stuck out my neck for the Akedas Yitzchak. Yaakov said, I went into Gullus. I had so much trouble with my children. Each of them, they tried to beg Hashem, and Hashem said, he showed each time how the Jews behaved in a manner that they did not deserve to be saved in the zechus and the merit of the avos and the imahos, until Rachel comes forward. And Rachel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she starts with a logical argument, and she says, whose mercy is greater? Is it flesh and blood or Hashem? Who has more mercy, a human being or Hashem? Rachel says, it's gotta be Hashem. A human being can't have more mercy than Hashem. That's not possible. And yet, when when my sister was being taken and I was being replaced with my sister, so I saw she was going to be embarrassed, and even though I knew that I was giving up my place with Yaakov, that I was supposed to be the one and only, or the main, or the main wife of Yaakov, the one who would have his children first, and I would be the recognized mother of the Jewish people, and I saw what was happening, and in order to protect my sister from shame, I was willing to bring a tsara l'soch beisi, I was willing to bring a co-wife, a competitor, into my house. I was willing to do that. I gave over the signs so she should not be embarrassed. So Rachel says to Hashem, if I was able to do that, and I'm merely flesh and blood, then you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be able to have mercy, even though the Jews brought a tzara, the Jews brought a competitor into their relationship with you. They worshipped idolatry. And even though they brought an idol into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple, nevertheless, you should have mercy on the Jewish people. And Hashem responds to Rachel, you have defended my children. You, more than anybody, have defended my children, and because you have defended my children, because of your words, because of what you did, therefore, the Jews will come back. And ultimately, our redemption from Galus, getting out of exile, is because of Rachel Imenu. It's because of what she did. There is no greater act of self-sacrifice ever performed than what Rachel Imenu did. And therefore, that act is what will get us out of the Galus. Even more than what Avraham did, what Yitzchak did, what everybody did, but Rachel's act of self-sacrifice was the greatest. And that's why we, in her merit, return. Rachel is the mother of Yosef, and Yosef is the father of Ephraim. Ephraim, the Medrash says, the Jewish people are called or remembered or redeemed in the merit of Rachel. The Medrash says, the Jews therefore are known by Rachel, as it says over here, Rachel Mavaka al Baneha, Rachel is crying for her children. The Medrash says, not only for Rachel, but for her son Yosef, and not only for her son Yosef, but for her grandson Ephraim. And the Jews are, the reference to Ephraim, to Yosef, goes back to Rachel, who in her self-sacrifice saved us. Because ultimately, what Yosef did in the reuniting of the Jews, of the Shvatim, of the tribes, was really taking a page out of his grandmother's book. That's what he was doing when the Jews were reunited. What did Yosef do when the Jews were reunited? We know, the Pasuk tells us, that the Yosef forgave the Jewish people, he forgave the Shvatim, he said to them, he revealed himself to them, but he did not hurt them, and he, when he revealed himself, and he said, and he cried, and they hugged, and they kissed each other, and they made shalom. Later when Yaakov dies, the brothers are now afraid that Yosef will, now that Yaakov is no longer there, there will be retribution. They will be distanced, and there'll be problems. And Yosef says to them, no, it's true that you tried to sell me, but it didn't work. 10 of you couldn't really hurt me. Hashem protected me. How could I hurt you? It's 1 against 10. It's not possible. Hashem doesn't want that to happen. And Yosef set the stage for the shalom between the brothers. He made it that there was able to be shalom between the brothers. And just as Rachel was willing to have Rachmanus, to have mercy on her sister Leah, Yosef ends up having Rachmanus, he has mercy on his brothers, even though his brothers gave him a bad turn, they mistreated him, but he showed them Rachmanus, he showed them mercy. The Medrash says that earlier when the Pasuk says that in Pasuk Yud Beis verse 12, where it says, I will turn over their mourning to joy, the Medrash says, what mourning, what avelus are we talking about? And the Medrash says, the avelus we're talking about is the avelus that the brothers had, that Yosef made for Yaakov. When Yaakov died, and they made an avel, shivas yamim, they made a mourning for Yaakov. Hashem says, you mourned for Yaakov, because of that, I will overturn your mourning and make it into joy. What does that mean? I mean, of course they mourned for Yaakov. He is their father. What does that mean, that because of that? It seems to me that the Medrash is saying that because the Yosef was, and it was primarily him, but the brothers as well, that they mourned for Yaakov, they didn't now behave differently than when Yaakov was alive. They mourned for him, and they behaved the same way. They kept him in front of themselves, even after he passed away, that they should behave the same way as before. And that's why Yosef says to them, nothing's going to change. Just because Yaakov has died, I'm not getting back at you. I'm not going to hurt you. That is not the way it's going to work. And Yosef, again, he's taking a page out of his grandmother's book, out of Rachel's book, that they will be, that to make the shalom between himself and the brothers. But there is much more over here. In Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, Kol Birama Nishma, there was a sound or a voice in Rama, in the high place, Nihi V'chi Samrurim, it was with wailing and crying, bitter crying. If you'll hold the place over here and turn ahead to Perek Mem, to chapter 40, which we have not learned yet. After the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and the people are being taken in chains to Bavel. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Mem, chapter 40, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Hadavar asher haya el Yirmiyahu, the word that came to Yirmiyahu, me'eis Hashem, from Hashem. Achar shalach oso Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim, min harama. After Nebuzaradan, the chief butcher, sent him from the Rama. Bekachto oso, when he took him. V'hu asur bazikim, and he was tied up in chains. Besoch kol galus Yerushalayim v'Yehuda, amongst all of the exiles of Yerushalayim and Yehuda, hamugalim bavela, who were being taken into galus to Bavel. There was a place called Rama. Yirmiyahu was the only Jew who was completely spared from the ravages of the destruction of the custom of the Babylonians. He, Nebuchadnezzar, as we will learn later, gave instructions to Nebuzaradan, you are not to touch Yirmiyahu, you are not to mistreat him, you are to do whatever he tells you. He's going to tell him. Obviously that comes from Hashem. That Nebuzaradan is given strict instructions by his master, Nebuchadnezzar, that Yirmiyahu is to be taken care of. Yirmiyahu doesn't want to be excluded from the suffering of his brothers and sisters. And as the Jews are being put in chains and taken to Bavel, Yirmiyahu goes to them, picks up a chain and puts it around his own neck, and goes with them into Galus. Nebuzaradan, the chief butcher, comes and extracts Yirmiyahu from there, takes him out of the chains, and tells him, you're not like them. You're not going to be locked up like them. And you can do whatever you wish. And Hashem told Yirmiyahu, go back to Eretz Yisrael. Don't go with the Jews to Golus. Go back to Eretz Yisrael, to Gedalia ben Achikam. Go back to Gedalia, who is the governor that Nebuchadnezzar has appointed over the remnant of the Jews in Israel. Go back there. And Yirmiyahu goes back from the Rama to Gedalia. He gets to Gedalia, and Gedalia says, someone has to be with the Jewish people. These Jews are being dragged into Galus by themselves. They have no leadership. Either you stay here and I'll go with them, or I'll stay here and you go with them. And Yirmiyahu says to Gedalia ben Achikam, if I go with them, there's nothing I can do for them. Let their creator go with them, because he can help them. And Yirmiyahu is, Hashem tells him not to go with the Jewish people into Galus, and Yirmiyahu goes back. What does that mean, let the creator go with them? And why is that being invoked over here, back in our chapter, in Lamed Aleph? Kol birama nishma. There was a sound, a voice in Rama. In Rama, when Yirmiyahu was taken by Nebuzaradan away from the captives and sent back to Yerushalayim, back to Eretz Yisrael. Nehi v'chi samrurim. There was bitter crying out of the Jewish people because they were losing Yirmiyahu. They thought, at least we have our leader with us. Yirmiyahu is with us as we're being dragged into Galus in this terrible journey from Yerushalayim to Bavel. But now Yirmiyahu was being taken away from them and they felt lost. And there was a huge wailing that went forth from the Jewish people as Yirmiyahu was taken away from them. Yirmiyahu says to Gedaliah ben Achikam, let their creator go with them. As long as I'm with them, then they are putting their hope in the wrong place. They shouldn't be relying on me. They should be relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't want me with them. He wants me away from them so that they will focus on Avinu Shabashamayim, on our Father in heaven. And that triggers the Rachel Mevaka al Baneha. Rachel is crying for her children. As long as the Jewish people had their false hope in Yirmiyahu, that he would help them, he would protect them, then they were not fully focused on Hashem, and then the zechus of Rachel could not really be actualized. But once we focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem says, Rachel's tears, that's what's going to end this galus. We, on Rosh Hashanah, we talk about this pasuk, we talk about Rachel Mavaka al Baneha, we talk about this Kol Berama Nishma, the zechus of Rachel Imenu, that is something that it hinges on our recognizing where our Yeshua really comes from. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in doing so, we merit the zechus of Rachel Imenu. When Rachel gave up her place to Leah, it wasn't being done out of a sense of, you'll excuse the expression, a bleeding heart. It's true she felt bad for her sister. And that's true. But Rachel did it out of a conviction that this is the right thing to do. That this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants His children to behave. He wants us to be concerned about each other. That's what He wants. And therefore Rachel was concerned about Leah. When we recognize that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, including our behavior that is between each other, that it is a mandate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that enables Rachel's zechus to come forth, and we are then saved. But of course, we're not done yet. The pasuk continues. We're up to Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Just a couple of small points before we go further. The Gemara tells us, Yesh Sachar Lefulaseich in Tezvav in 15. Yesh Sachar Lefulaseich. There is reward or merit for your efforts. That, if you look at those letters, Yesh Sachar, what do you see? How about Yisachar? The Medrash says many times over again that these two words, Yesh Sachar, is a reference to Yisachar, the tribe Yisachar, and we know that Yisachar is the tribe of Torah. And we have a reference to the study of Torah also, that of course is always present in anything that we have, any mila, any advantage that we have is always going to have the schar of Torah as well in the redemption from the galus. Furthermore, in Tes Zayin 16, V'yesh tikva la'achariseich, there's hope for your future, Num Hashem, says Hashem. The Medrash says, again, several places, that when the Jews have tikva, when the Jews are hoping for the geula, for Mashiach, when we are mechakim, when we wait for Mashiach, tzipisa li Yeshua, then there is a future. The redemption happens when we are waiting for it, not if chas v'shalom we are not waiting for the geula. Pasuk Yedzayim, verse 17. Hashem says, Shamoa shamati, I heard Ephraim misnodeit, Ephraim, he is lamenting. Here again, we have a reference to Ephraim. What does Ephraim say? Hashem says, I'm listening to him. What is he saying? Yisartani va'ivaser. Hashem, he afflicted me, and I was afflicted. He hurt me. Ke'egel lo lumad, like a calf that has not learned how to behave. Hashem, a calf that has not learned how to behave has to be trained to behave, and there is some pain involved. And that's the way it was with me as well. Ephraim says, I recognize that. Hashiveni v'ashuva. Ephraim says to Hashem, return me and I will return. Ki ata Hashem Elokai, because I recognize you are Hashem, my God. That the Yisurin, the afflictions, served to bring me back to you, Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva writes that all tshuva is good. All tshuva is good, even when it comes through afflictions. Even if what triggers the tshuva is punishment, it's still valuable. And he brings one of these sources. He brings is this pasuk here that Ephraim says, "I am returning because of the afflictions." But Hashem says, "I'm listening. I'm listening to Ephraim." Pasuk Yilches 18, Kiachare Shuvi Nichamti, because after I returned, I regretted what I did. Va'acharehi vadi, and after I have admitted my sins, safakti al yorech, I slapped myself, I slapped my leg. Boshti v'gam nichlamti, I am ashamed, I'm very ashamed. Kinasasi cherpasnu urai, I have carried the shame of my youth, all of the sins that I have done. Many rules or ideas of teshuva are learned from this pasuk. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, normally the order of teshuva is to first regret our actions and then to get to a point where we will never do the sin again. We regret it and then we never do it again. But here it says, Ki achare shuvi nichamti, after I returned, then I regretted it. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, it depends on the type of sin. If it's a sin that a person committed a couple of times, once here, once there, once in a while, then the proper order is first regret having done it, focus on the regret, then become stronger in our Yiras Shamayim to the point where we will never do the sin again. But if it is a, God forbid, a habitual sin, something that we run to do all the time, and it's something we've completely lost sight of the fact that it is prohibited, and now we want to do tshuva, the first step is to stop doing it. Before one can work on regret, one has to drop it, has to stop it. Then one can regret their actions. This pasuk is referring to that type of sin, where a person has done it over and over and over and over and over again. So, acharei shuvi, after I've returned, After I've stopped doing it, then nichamti, then I regret it. If a person comes to Yom Kippur and feels, I don't feel bad over my sins. I want to feel bad. I want to feel bad. I want to cry over my sins. I feel like I'm not really having that emotional response that I'm supposed to have on Yom Kippur. It's normal not to have that emotional response as long as one is holding on to the sin. One has to drop it, then one can have the regret and the remorse for having done it. And we learn from here that a very high madrega, a very high level of teshuva is boshti v'gam nichlamti, is to have intense shame over the sin. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if a person can get to a point where their face actually changes color when they think about the fact that they sinned, that is an intense level of teshuva. That is a level of teshuva that Hashem looks very, very favorably upon. If a person feels embarrassed, even if it's just between them and themselves, not telling anybody about it, but the person thinks about what they did and they turn colors, then Hashem says that is a very, very sincere teshuva. And finally, Pasuk Yutes, verse 19. And this pasuk is the one of the main psukim of Rosh Hashanah. Havein yakir li Ephraim. Hashem says, is Ephraim a precious son to me? Im yeled shashuim. Is he a child that is, shashuim means playful, but it means a child that a parent has intense emotion for. The Gemara says, or the Medrash says, like a 3 or 4 year old, or maybe a 5 or 6 year old, a young child that is behaving in a way that evokes all kinds of emotion from the parents. So is Ephraim like that? Is Ephraim, the Jewish people, are they so precious to me? Are they like a young child? Kimidei Dabrivo, that as long as I speak about him, whenever I speak about him, Zachar es Karenu Od, I remember him even more, Hashem says. Al kein hamu me'ailo. It's hard to say this pasuk. And therefore, my insides, they yearn for him. Rachem arachamenu num Hashem. Hashem says, I will have mercy upon him. Hashem says that Klal Yisrael is to me like a precious child, a beautiful child, a child that has done no wrong, a young child that is still young, has done no wrong. And Hashem says that I have kiviyachol, so to speak, emotion, I'm emotionally drawn to him. I can't stay away from him. I want to remember him. I want to talk about him. I want to draw him to me. We end the Haftarah with this pasuk, and this is the primary pasuk in Zichronos, in the section of the psukim of remembering on Rosh Hashanah. This is the primary pasuk. The reason why it's the primary pasuk is because in this pasuk Hashem is saying that ultimately, once the Jewish people are in a place where they can be redeemed, once we are doing the things that are mentioned in this perek, that we are tapping in to the merit of what Yosef did, the merit of what Rachel did, that we are recognizing that it comes from Hashem. Once all of this happens, Hashem says, I have, so to speak, kiviyachol, what a human being would characterize as an emotional response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have emotions. He's not human. But we interpret what he does the way we understand it. And Hashem says, my behavior at this time will be like a parent who has an intense emotion for their child. When I take you back, Hashem says, it's not going to be begrudgingly. It's not going to be, well, okay, you know, the world ultimately has to have a geula. Okay, we'll bring you back. It's not like that. Hashem says, when I bring you back, you're going to feel like that child that is being smothered by their parent with intense love, with unbridled love, with the feeling that you can do no wrong. That's what it's going to be like. That's the way that Hashem ultimately relates to the Jewish people. Everything that we're going through in Golus, that is an anomaly. That's not the way it's supposed to be, and that is due to Averos, but that is a layer on top of what's real. What's real is this pasuk. This is reality. Reality is that because of the schus of Akedas Yitzchak that we spoke about, because of the schus of Rachel Imenu that we spoke about, because of the schus of Yosef HaTzadik that we spoke about, because of that Hashem says, Ephraim is to me this child that I just can't stay away from. I don't never want to let go of. And that is why we invoke this pasuk more than any other in the Zichronos of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we read it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah, the Mishnah Maseches Megillah, when it talks about what we read on Rosh Hashanah, and it says we read this on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say you read the 31st chapter of Yirmiyahu. It doesn't say you read the first words of the perek of Ko Amar Hashem Matzachin Bamidbar. That's not what it says. It says you read Havein Yakir Li Ephraim. That's what you read. You read this pasuk. I mean, you have to read the whole Haftorah, so you start from the beginning. But this is the point of the Haftorah, is this Pasuk, and this is the point of the Zechronos of Rosh Hashanah, is this Pasuk. And when a person is davening Shmon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, the Vilna Gaon writes that one is not supposed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is not a time that we're supposed to be crying over our Averos. Rosh Hashanah is even though it's the beginning of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, it's not a time where we don't say Vidui, we don't say Hashamnu on Rosh Hashanah. That starts on some Gedalia, the day after Rosh Hashanah. Of course, on Kippur, we cry for our Averos. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't. But of course people cry on Rosh Hashanah. What the Vilna Gaon means, it seems to me, is one is not supposed to cry out of sadness over their sins, but over the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that crying is sublime. That's beautiful. And I don't know how one can read this Pasuk and think about it without crying. And when one reads this in their own Shmoneh Esrei, one should be thinking about the intense love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. And picture that the scene, picture the imagery that is being brought up in this Pasuk, and that, as much as we talk about being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making him into our king, but it's also Avinu Malkenu, he's also our father. And it goes together. And this is the main Pasuk that brings out the Avinu part, the father part. This is it, over here. And all the themes that we spoke about come together in this. They coalesce in this pasuk and in this haftarah for Rosh Hashanah. Everybody should have a ksiva v'chasima tova.